Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. Now, every year, 9,000 people in Ireland are reported missing. Most of those are thankfully found safe and well, but some will remain missing for years. And we hear about some of the more high profile cases in the media, but many of those who go missing disappear without a trace. Why do people go missing? How do you cope when a family member goes missing? Well, my next guest has direct experience of this and has written a fascinating book about it. It's called If You Were There, Missing People and the Marks They Leave Behind. Francisco Garcia, you are very welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well indeed. Lovely to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, you've written a book about this topic. It's called If You Were There, Missing People and the Marks They Leave Behind. Can we just say, what are the reasons or some of the reasons people go missing?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, it's as varied as you might expect. You know, all sorts of reasons, where it could be things from mental health problems to debt to, you know, family breakdown, relationship breakdown. And then, of course, there are the people that are, you know, abducted and taken as well. So there are all sorts of reasons, and they really are complicated as well.
Because when you think of someone go missing, you automatically think of the worst for them. What is a missing person? Some people who are reported as missing might not think of themselves as being missing. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a question with a lot of different answers, where if it depends on who you ask, you'll get a different, you know, you'll get a different response. So the police will have one answer, charities might have another. Obviously, missing families and the people left behind by that person, by that absence, they'll have another idea as well. And as you say, like, it's fascinating, because obviously when we think of a missing person, we think of those high profile cases, the people that disappeared for years and perhaps never returned. But the reality of it is, mostly people do return. They return quite quickly, and then you think, you know, so there's a question of, you know, that the teenager that's missed their curfew, for example, and they don't come say, you know, you're obviously as a parent, you'd be distraught if they don't come back for their 10 p.m. curfew. But you know, they might come back at 11:30 midnight. They might come back the next morning, you know, ashamed and sheepish or whatever. But so they're not really a missing person, but they are for that amount of time that they're gone. They're absent, right? So this question is obviously a complicated one.
Very complicated. But can I ask you, Francisco, is it easier for people to go missing now? Are people falling through the cracks of society much quicker?
Oh, definitely. I think you can see that in Ireland and in the UK. There's obviously things, the safety net, for want of a better phrase, is very strained and is, you know, more people are dropping through that than I think were before. And that could have, and obviously this isn't something that was an inevitability. This is a result of choices or a series of choices that have culminated in this, because, you know, things like housing costs, things like precarious employment, things that drive people to the everyday things that, you know, can drive people to a disappearance. I think it's fair to say those things have got worse in the last few years, perhaps the last decade.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Now, you have a deeply personal relationship to the subject. Your father went missing from your life when you were just 7. Can you tell us a bit about that? Do you have much of a memory of that? I mean, you were only 7. What do you recall of that time?
Yeah, no, of course. I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because I would love to say, yeah, it was picture perfect clarity. But of course, when you're that young, it's not. It was a pretty confused and messy time. My dad was a Spanish immigrant to the UK, to London specifically. Didn't have a particularly good time in work and, you know, and a particularly great grasp of the language. And didn't get on so well here. And he had his own problems with drinking and other things as well. So I guess things came to a head when my mum had died in 1999 when I was 7. And then for whatever reason, he decided it would be easier or better to be back in Spain. And apart from a brief visit over there the next year, yeah, that was the last time I saw him.
Wow. And who looked after you?
Oh, my gran and my auntie.
Wow.
I don't want to sound as well. I always like to make an important caveat that despite it sounds a bit of a miserable subject and stuff, I it's not a misery memoir. I've had a really great life and a really great upbringing apart from that.
And thanks to them. Now, we won't go into it too much because it is key part of this amazing book, but you did go to Spain to your father's hometown. How did that feel?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, pretty difficult to describe in the sense that I would have loved to say, yeah, I went there and it all made sense and it was all perfectly, you know, I perfectly understood all the mysteries of the past. But it wasn't like that. It was complicated. And again, I don't know. It's difficult because you don't really know what to think. I mean, it was lovely to be there and put literally, as silly and crude as it might sound, put a face to the place almost, if that makes sense. Because I haven't been there in my adult life ever. So it was amazing to see it. And it was that made sense a bit more to me. But there wasn't really any big resolution. I thought it was so alien as well, because I'm not, even though despite my name, I don't know, the Spanish part of me, for want of a better phrase again, is pretty much non-existent. So it felt a bit strange.
Can you tell us about visiting the Irish pub, of all places, while you were there? You kind of opened up to people in the pub, didn't you?
Yeah, I think that's something, you know, British and Irish people perhaps share, like, especially young men. Like, I mean, for a bit of context, I'd been in Seville the 3 days previous, and I was by myself doing, you know, fairly cultural stuff or whatever. And then by the end of that 3 days, I was quite bored. So by the time I got to La Linea, which is my dad's hometown, further to the south, I was just desperate to chat to people. And where better to do that? Where's the best place abroad to do that than an Irish pub?
Irish pub,
so
of
I
course.
Googled it. Yeah, exactly, an Irish pub. I went down and I had a fantastic night and ended up, you know, chatting away to people from all over Ireland and Britain. And it was obviously very surreal. So you're in this incredibly Spanish place and I'm on this sort of quest for my understanding the Spanish part of me. But where do you go? You go to the familiar places or the place that make you feel safe for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And that's happened to be
the Irish pub. Yeah, they're everywhere. You can't get away from them. But it just, did your gran and your aunt, was there just no contact? He literally disappeared from your life. Mm. Is there a point where you ever stop searching for someone? I mean, do you still search for your father? Is this something that is constantly in the background of your life?
Oh, it's a great question. Again, it's difficult because it's always a bit more messy and complicated, isn't it, than that? Sorry, I keep saying the word complicated, but I can't get away from it.
Because
it's true. Well, it was funny because, you know, after all that sort of chaos in my early life, we did keep in contact for a bit, and it just sort of, for various quite tedious reasons, it sort of deadened into silence. And then, you know, when from my end, I was quite content for many years not to search and to let it go, because life was always quite, you know, how life is always busy. You're a teenager, you're getting on with life. You've got 1,001 other things to navigate. So I sort of let, as much as my dad didn't get in touch for whatever reason, I wasn't pining for it as a teenager or anything. It was only in my 20s that, and fairly recently, when I thought, wow, maybe I'm ready now to start looking into this, you know, in a serious way.
Okay, so it's still kind of, it'll always be part of your life in some way and kind of dip in and out of it. Can I ask you, Francisca, what would be your advice to someone who has had a friend or a family member go missing? What would you say to them?
I would say a big problem with missing people in general isn't necessarily the people that are never found who never return, because they actually make up this tiny proportion of people. It's the coming back that presents a lot of issues with people.
Right.
So if someone's come back, I would say, it's to them, I would say, you know, it's not something to be ashamed of. Like, this could have happened. It could happen to literally any one of us. It could happen to anyone we know. It's not a shameful thing to have happened. Obviously, some pressure or some vulnerability has gone off in that person's life to make that happen. So it's about trying to understand that from both sides, really. Because what you want to stop you want to stop it happening again, right? You don't want it to keep repeating. That's the other point. A lot of missing people don't just go missing once. They keep pinballing in and out of vision. So I think basically I would say, like, from both sides, it's not a shameful thing for the missing person. And also for that person searching, or that person who's found, I would say, who's found, you know, their missing loved one or whatever, I would say just try and build some sort of thread of understanding there. Do they need access to services? Do they need better mental health support? That sort of thing. You really have to just, like, look at it from a wider perspective. Yeah.
Francisco, it's an amazing book. Thank you so much. It's fascinating on a very important subject because the stats are frightening, to be honest with you. If You Were There, Missing People and the Marks They Leave Behind by Francisco Garcia is published by HarperCollins and is out now. Thank you so much for that chat and best of luck in all that you do.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for
having
me. Thanks,
love.
Thank you.
We'll be back after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.